Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Bajorek from the Why on the Buy podcast, wishing nothing but the best for you and yours this holiday season as we roll into 2019. Christy and I have some really exciting stuff in store for you as we head into January and beyond, and we cannot wait to share it with you. So as you head into this new year and you think about all the promise that is ahead, remember, when you know your why, your hows and your whats get much better.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the world's premier sales and personal development podcast. We are glad you're here. And by we, I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. And normally I am joined by Jeffrey Gittimer, the author of The Little Red Book of Selling and The Sales Manifesto, coming out on January 1st. Jeffrey is in Connecticut at the date of this recording, so he won't be on. But today we have an amazing, amazing episode. It's Sell or Die's Best of 2018 show. We've taken the best clips from our 2018 episodes and we put them in this one jam-packed show. And you guys voted. So like, we didn't even choose these. You guys, if you're a member of the Sell or Die Facebook group, the official Sell or Die Art official Facebook group, you got to choose these episodes by voting on your favorite. So how
and the
cool
funny
is
thing
that?
Is, the funny thing is about this, We got to pick just in case we didn't have enough votes, and it ended up the top five ended up joining the group.
That's right. That's right. And that was the voice of Nada. He is awesome. He's making this episode happen behind the scenes. So thank you, Nada.
Thank you.
So that said, if you guys haven't joined our Facebook page yet, what are you waiting for? We literally just had someone join and he was like, I don't know what I was waiting for. I just joined. Like, guys, there is so much extra value going on in that group. Jeffrey and I are going to try and go live every day at the end of the year in that group. And you know what? We want you there. We want to engage with you. We want to hang out with you. And the best place to do it is in our Sell or Die Hards official Facebook group. Let's get on to the first clip. This was the overwhelming favorite by our diehards. Of course, if you paid attention to the Facebook group, you already know who the winner was, and that was the great Jeb Blunt. He was the overwhelming winner. Jeb is amazing, guys. And if you don't know, Jeb's actually hosting a conference in April called Outbound that you should all be attending. I don't care where in the world you live, who cares where in the world it is. It's going to be one of the best sales conferences ever. Jeffrey's speaking at it. I'm speaking at it, as well as tons of amazing other speakers. And the information and the personal connections you can make by attending that conference are going to be incredible. So we're going to put a link in the show notes with actually a discount to buy your tickets. Mm-hmm. And without further ado, let's get on to Jeb.
I look at objections in a completely different vein. There are four types of objections that people get in sales.
Okay.
They get objections to time, so prospecting objections. I ask you to meet with me. Now, and that could be in person. Right. It could be on the phone.
And I could give you an objection like I'm already satisfied with who I've got.
I'm
or
busy.
I'm busy.
Call
I'm
me
traveling.
Back in a month.
Whatever. But those and those are categories. But the, how you handle a prospecting objection, a time objection, is different than how you handle a buying commitment objection. That's another objection. So that's the I've given you a proposal, which is a written or verbal offer to buy, and you've given me an objection. It might be a question. It might be a negotiation. But to the salesperson, it seems like something that's in the way.
It's a block
of moving forward.
Right. I refer to them, by the way, as barriers.
They're barriers.
Yeah.
Now, in between, you have micro commitment objections.
Okay.
So if when we talk about asking, if you don't ask them to have the next meeting, to let you go on a tour of their facility, to let you take a look at their data and their numbers so that you can formulate a business case that gives them a reason to say, when can we get started? Would this be okay? A lot of times they'll get in the way of that, mostly because they don't feel value in it. So those are really low key low-risk objections, but they just don't see value in spending more time with you, usually because you're boring, because you spent the entire time talking. And then there are red herring objections, and red herring objections destroy salespeople. So they're at the beginning of a meeting, and they say, thank you very much, Mr. Gittimer, for spending 15 minutes with me today. My objective today is to do
– Move closer to the
mic. Closer to the mic, because apparently I haven't learned that yet. And so thank you for – my objective is this. What would you like to have on the agenda as well? And you go, you know, the last time I did business with you bastards, you overcharged me.
Yeah, yeah.
Off to the races a salesperson goes, dealing with that.
Right.
And they blow their entire sales meeting. And at the end of the meeting, they end up with, you know what, I'll send me your prices, I'll call you, versus being in emotional control, taking that, whatever that is, putting it aside, getting the person engaged, have the questions.
Actually making an appointment to get back to the person with whatever the red herring was.
Exactly. Right, right. But those four types of objections, prospecting
objections.
You know
what a red herring is, by the way?
I do. It was something that came from the Middle Ages. They would take dead fish and the hounds are running along, right?
Yeah.
And they would run the red herring across and the hounds would go. And then it became it's a literary device that says, I'm taking you off the –
Well, I never knew
It's
that.
Also the pre – book that you get when someone's going to have a public offering.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a red herring because there's red in there where they haven't finalized all the stuff.
Oh, no way.
Yep. Wow, I didn't know that.
Well,
man.
For those of you just joining us.
If you're playing Trivial Pursuit, today is your day.
Bingo. Or if you're playing Jeopardy, I'm your clicker.
Okay, so for those of you just joining us, this is Sell or Die Podcast. We are recording live right now with Jeb Blunt. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here, Jeb. And I just want to shout out to a few people. Ken Wall says Jeb, and then three of my favorite peeps. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Ron Goodwin, watching from under a snowbank in Boston. I'm glad you have power. Frank in Jacksonville, Florida. Cool, guys. This is awesome. So
is
make
anybody
sure
from
you
a
share
foreign
it out.
Country? Is anybody from like Texas or California?
Is it snowing in Jacksonville? That's what I want to know.
Exactly.
I sure hope not.
So Charlotte.
We're going to talk about objections, but I think it's fair to say that from what Jeb has just described, everyone's had them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to get them. If you think about sales, I think we can all agree that sales is different. It's situational. It's contextual. People who are in transactional are different than people who are in enterprise. But there's democracy in objections. Yes. Everybody gets them no matter where you are. Now, they come in different forms. And they can come in different levels of harshness. Prospecting objections are going to be your harshest objections,
right?
Much more like rejection.
Sometimes you don't even hear an objection. You just hear a phone slamming down.
Yeah,
that would be rejection.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got you.
I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
All right. That was the amazing Jeb Blunt. Wow. You know, not only is he interesting and educational and informational and offers great strategies on selling, but he's a really nice guy. Like, when you meet him in person, because you'll see me and Jeffrey and Jeb and all these amazing sales experts at Outbound in Atlanta in April. The link is going to be in the show notes for discounted tickets. When you meet him in person, you're going to be like, you know, Jen, you're right. He's a really nice guy, and he's smart, and he has great strategies. So he's definitely someone you guys should be following in the upcoming year if you're not already. All right, now, on to the next clip. This was one of Jeffrey's personal favorites, the Great Dove Baron.
Yeah, the Great Dove Baron. I remember doing that episode. I remember just his story about how he fell 12 stories and survived rock climbing.
It's freaking incredible. Take a listen.
But in 1990, I was going to move from there to LA, by the way. But in 1990, I was an adrenaline junkie. I was very successful. I was speaking all over the world. I was on TV, radio, newspapers, magazines. It was all going pretty great. And in 1990, as an adrenaline junkie, I was free climbing. That's climbing without ropes for people who don't know what it is. It's a sport for the moderately insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell approximately 120 feet.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's 12 stories and landed on my face and got smashed to pieces. Or as I like to say, I fell 120 feet from a self-imposed pedestal and landed on my ego.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got smashed up. And of course, that made it sure I wasn't going anywhere for a while. During that process, which of course, as you can imagine, was incredibly painful and many reconstructive surgeries, somewhere between 10 and 12, died several times in the process. But the first sort of 9 months when people would say, how you doing? I'd say, I'm great. I'm coming back. Well, that's not exactly how I'd say it because my face was wide closed. So I'm great. I'm coming back. But that's what I'd say. And then, you know, I'd put on this, you know, I'm the tough guy. I'm the leader. You know, I can do this. But the truth of the matter was that I was darkly depressed when I was on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And on a particular day when I really had lost hope that I could ever find joy in my life again and feeling like I'd never be able to come back, even though that's what I was saying, I'd actually had a night out with my mates and we'd had I'd laughed and I was like in awe that, oh my God, you know, I finally can laugh. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it could come back. And I walked in my door, I opened the door and as I looked across the kitchen, there was garbage festooned across the floor. There was rotten meat wrappers, there were coffee grinds, there were empty cans, it was verstunken, it was not good at all. The whole thing was bad, along with litter box and all the rest of the stuff. And I knew exactly who the culprit was. It was this damn cat, this Siamese cat that I didn't like. It wasn't my cat, it was given to me. And I immediately went from feeling joyous to feeling furious and filled with rage. And I went looking for this cat and walked into the living room and the cat was curled up on the couch. And I'll be honest with you, it's shameful, but I lifted my hand to hit the cat. And as I brought my hand down, something in me stopped. And as it's like stopped midway and I touched the cat instead and I put my hand underneath it and the cat was cold and curled up and the cat was dead. And I picked the cat up in my arms and I fell to my knees and I began to weep, not cry, weep, sobbed like that, sobbing. And out of these little lucid moments of like, why am I crying? I don't even like this freaking cat. What is this? And I couldn't stop it. And then suddenly I realized I was not crying for the cat. I was crying for the life that I'd lost, that was gone, that there was no back, there was only forward. And as I laid there on the floor in the fetal position, I knew there were three choices. Go back, which I worked out that's not a possibility. The second choice, which was very seductive, which was stay here, be a victim of circumstance and just be, you know, oh, I could have been, you know, the Marlon Brando line, mm-hmm. I could have been a champion, but, you know, shit happened, so it's not my fault. Or move forward, how do I do that? And I began to ask, why am I here? That dark question, why am I here? What is the point of my life? What is the meaning of my life? You know, I had the success. I had the nice house. I had the nice car, all those things, but it doesn't have any meaning. What is the meaning of my life? And I began to question my purpose. And that was how I began that journey for myself. And over the next 9 months, I began to step more and more into that. So our first 9 months was a gestation period to give birth to the truth of the depression. And the next 9 months was a gestation period of stepping into my purpose and doing what it is that I'm here to do.
Wow. I love hearing Dov Baron's story. It's so inspirational. It's totally incredible. I'm glad that one of Jeffrey's favorites got in here. This is really cool. So now for the final part of our best of 2018 episode, we're going to spotlight another person that you diehards wanted to hear again, and that is the great Bob Berg. Bob is all about giving. And how do you give, and what do you give, and what constitutes giving, and what constitutes not giving?
Exactly. He is a guy that's similar to you and Jeffrey in believing that, you know what, you got to give value to get value. I mean, I remember reading it personally in Sales in a New York Minute, out on January 1st. No shameless plug here.
Love the plug, Nod. I love the plug. Thank you very much. That's right. And so, you know what? Let's just get to it. Take a listen.
Well, years and years ago, I had a book called Endless Referrals, Network Your Everyday Contacts into Sales. Which
I own
was
it, and I own an autographed copy of it.
Yes, you do. I've seen
it. You're in it. Actually, in the 2005 edition, the third edition, you're in there as one of the sales examples that I point people to. And it was a how-to book, though. You know, and it did well. It sold about 300,000 copies or so, and it's been a good ride. But it was very how-to-ish, and and throughout the years, I've always enjoyed reading parables. Have always enjoyed being feeling like you could connect with the story and really get something out of it. And I thought, wouldn't it be a cool idea if we could take the basic premise of endless referrals, which basically is that all things being equal or even close enough to equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust, and put that into a parable form. So I asked myself the question, well, so what's the, in choosing a title, which we know is important, what is the main characteristic of a person who's able to cultivate those kind of relationships both quickly and sustainably? And the answer is they're always giving value to others. Their focus is on bringing value to others. So we came up with the name the Go-Giver, which a lot of people think is opposite of a go-getter, but it really isn't, because we love go-getters too, because go-getters are people who take action.
You know, the Go-Getter is a book from the 20s, right?
You know something? I found that out. Oh, the Go-Getter. Well, yeah. The Go by Peter Kind. Oh, that was a great book. I love that book. Yeah. And but there was also one that I think called The Go-Giver, which was written like even before then. I felt embarrassed because I wouldn't have.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's okay.
Embarrassment has nothing to do with solid using other people's ideas to get it to the next level. There's nothing wrong with that.
Their book, it was called The Go-Giver, but it was like something totally – kind of totally different.
It was about tithing or something.
And so we love go-getters, okay? And so we want people to be go-getters, people of action, and go-givers, people who are focused on creating value for others, for the marketplace. What we don't want is for people to be go-takers. Those are the people. And I think that's what Napoleon Hill was really referring to.
Exactly.
The day of the go-getter. He really meant the day of the go-taker, because he's all about being a giver.
I will tell you, it's remarkable how truthful living is going to ring with you.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's all about you earn in proportion to what you give. You earn in proportion to what you serve. You earn in proportion to what you put into something. You get exactly out of it what you put into it.
So I classify people as either givers and takers all the time, whether I should or shouldn't. I just, it's like so natural to me to think about it. Do you think people are born as givers, or do you think it's something that they learn over time?
You know, I think like anything else, it's a combination of such. It's like any great athlete. You know, they were born with natural talent and ability, gross motor and small motor control, sure. But unless they're in the batting cage practicing, they're not going to be as good a hitter.
Totally 100% agree.
So what would you say to someone who wants to be a giver but doesn't really know where to start?
Well, first, and I think it's more than just being a giver, because it's focusing on, you know, we would say the basic premise of the Go-Giver, Jen, is simply that shifting your focus, and this is the key, shifting your focus from getting to giving. Again, when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing value to others, and understanding that doing so is not only a pleasant way of conducting business, it's the most financially profitable way as well. Okay. So I think that a person, yes, they want to focus on being a giver, but they also remember law five of that story is the law of receptivity. We've also got to be able to receive that which we've earned through providing value to the marketplace. This is why we say that money is simply an echo of value. And so I think for someone to then, you know, to say, okay, well, I'm going to move to this kind of way of being and way of conducting myself, way of selling, they need to first understand why it's in their best interest to do so. Again, if they're not someone who has a natural inclination to doing so. So, for example, you know, a lot of times I'll say to my audience, how many of you agree with the following statement? Nobody is going to buy from you because you have a quota. to meet. Right. And we all laugh because we know that's true. They're not going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet, because you need the money, or even because you're a really, really nice person.
Right. Exactly.
They're going to buy from you because they believe they'll be better off by doing so than by not doing so. And in a free market based economy, which is what we live in, free market simply meaning no one is forced to do business with one another. That's the only reason why they should buy from you. What this does, which is great, is it makes it so the entrepreneur or the sales professional needs to place the interests of the other person first, not in a self-sacrificial way, not in a martyrish or doormatty way, no, but as a way of understanding that you're tapping into human nature. We need to be the one that communicates that value to that person. So once someone understands this, now they're much more likely to take that on.
Guys, diehards, that was part one of the best of 2018 set of episodes, but there were so many amazing episodes that you guys voted on in our official Diehard Facebook group that we are having a part two when you return for the next episode tomorrow. But before you go, I want to tell you about some program that I have coming out in January. It's called Cash Flow to CEO. I am going to help you become the CEO of your life and your sales. And right now, I'm accepting 20 to 25 founding members by application only, and the founding members get lifetime access for free. There's going to be courses in there on mindset and attitude and beliefs, all on selling strategies. There's going to be courses in there about referrals and closing the sale and earning testimonials. And there's going to be courses in there on how to take CEO actions to become the CEO of your life with successful routines and stuff like that. It is going to be incredible. I am beyond excited about it. But if you want to apply, the deadline is approaching, or it may be here. I have no idea what day it is today when this episode is airing or when you're listening to it. So the deadline to apply is December 30th. That is right, because in January, I'm going to have the 25 founding members. Now, don't worry. If you hear this later and you've missed the deadline to apply, there will be a wait list for when you'll be able to join Cashflow to CEO. All you need to do is go to cashflowtoceo.com and apply, or put yourself on the waitlist, and the link will be in the show notes. So guys, until next time, I hope you're having a great holiday season. I'm Jen Gluckow, and I'm reminding you to get out there and enjoy the holidays. Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.